Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. It is time to step into the Tzippi Zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, to step into your power, and to connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tzippi Talk. My name is Tzippi Felsenstein, and I'm dedicated to explore a life that is lived with clarity, with confidence, with control, and with awareness. And that is why I'm really excited today to have Paul Friedman join us from an organization that is called Stand With Us. As far as I'm concerned, this is one of the most important organizations of our time. And I'll explain to you why later. Today, we live in what we know is an age of information. And a lot of people think that it's an age of too much information, but because of all that information and because of all that accessibility to information, we also are exposed to a lot of misinformation. And it's definitely an age of misinformation. And that's how Paul Friedman comes in. He is dedicated to educating high school students with facts and reality, specifically about Israel and about the situation, because if there's any massive amount of misinformation, this is one topic that misinformation is right along every single sentence of information. So Paul Friedman is dedicated to educating high school students about the reality of the truth, and sadly enough, preparing high school students to enter college, Jewish students, and be able to handle what is called a BDS movement, which is something we're going to touch on and explain. If you've never heard of what a BDS movement is or what it stands for, we'll give you a short explanation of that. But education primarily is one of the most important things, because when you get the facts confused, you get everything confused. And one of the things that Hitler took from Lenin, who I think was the first one that actually realized that with the Communist Revolution, and his big motto was, if you say a lie loud enough and often enough, most people, the mass amount of people, will believe that. And we are experiencing this today in so many places in the world. They're hearing lies loud enough, and they're hearing it very, very often. And as shocked as I am by that, they actually do believe it after a while, if they didn't believe it to begin with. So I'd like to welcome Paul Friedman. Thank you so much for joining us today. And I really, really, really think you're doing a very important job, Paul.
Thank you, Tippi, so much for allowing me to have the opportunity to share with you the wonderful work that we're doing.
Yes, and I do think it's wonderful work, but I also think that it's one of the most important jobs that anyone can do these days and age. It's like the only thing that I can compare it to that is the closest thing to us is what happened before Hitler came into power. If nobody stands up right now and nobody exposes the truth, then whatever happens in the future, we're really partly responsible if there's a genocide, if there's any more massive amount of murders. So it's more than just wonderful work. It's also really, really important work as far as I'm concerned. So about all that work, why don't you tell us about it? Stand With Us is a great name for an organization. So what does Stand With Us stand for?
So Stand With Us is a 14-year-old international nonprofit Israel education organization that supports people around the world who want to educate their campuses and communities about Israel. So we work with high school students, middle school students, college students, and community members to educate them about all of the facts about Israel and the Middle East. And you had just mentioned that there is a lot of misinformation out there in general in the world today, and especially when it comes to Israel and the Middle East, there is a ton of misinformation being put out there. So Stand With Us exists to be able to expose people to all of the facts and to expose people to the truth and allow them to make an educated and informed decision regarding Israel and the Middle East.
So misinformation, really, when it comes to Israel, there's misinformation in everything that we actually touch on these days. But when it comes to Israel, misinformation is kind of like really a small word compared to the misinformation, the huge, massive amount of of misinformation that is out there. Do you find that that's true?
Yeah, I would say that when it comes to Israel, everybody certainly has an opinion, and not always everybody's opinion is supported with facts and statistics. So it's important for Stand With Us to expose people to all of the facts and all of the statistics and all of the great things that Israel and the Middle East are doing right now. I mean, there are amazing things going on. Israel is signing deals with Jordan, with Egypt, economic deals. Those countries are working closer now than ever before in their history. There's amazing things taking place. And so often when you hear Israel on mainstream media or you hear the Middle East on mainstream media, often you associate it with violence, with terrorism, with war. And certainly in Israel's case, it's one of the most stable countries in that entire region of the world, and all you would have to do is just ask somebody who goes there, and they will tell you how safe and secure they feel when they're there. So it's important to expose people to all the facts. Yes, we need to educate people about the war, about the conflict, about the history from the Israeli perspective and also from the Palestinian perspective. We need to be able to understand why this conflict exists, but we also need to expose people to everything that's going on in Israel, like the wonderful technology and innovations that's coming out, the incredible diversity that exists in Israel, the important roles that Christian Arabs and Muslim Arabs play in Israeli society. So we try to go in and work with community members and high schools and colleges to expose them to all of the wonderful things that are going on in Israel today.
Yeah, actually, that is totally news to me. I didn't know they were negotiating with Egypt and Jordan. I think it's huge and definitely a miracle of our age that Israel is negotiating with Egypt and Jordan, who are maybe beginning to see the benefit of having Israel. That is really huge. And another thing that you said that is also important, I had a friend of mine get married to an Israeli guy from a kibbutz from upstate New York. She wasn't Jewish, and all she's ever heard about Israel is the war and the conflict, as you know. And he wanted to go to Israel for the honeymoon, and she was terrified. But they went. They went to Israel. And when she came back, guess what she said? She said she never felt safer in her life. She was afraid to go because it's unbelievable the image that you get by just listening to the mainstream media of, oh, my God, I'm going to get off the plane and somebody's going to shoot me down. So that's absolutely true. So what is it that you do specifically for Stand With Us?
So my official title is the Tri-State Area High School Coordinator. I work with high schools, summer camps, YMCAs, JCCs, youth groups. I mainly work with teens, with teenagers, to educate them about Israel and the Middle East. And often, right now, the most requested topic that we get on the high school level now is preparing teenagers for the possible anti-Semitism that they may encounter when they go away to college. And so we expose them to some of the anti-Semitism that exists. And often in today's world, anti-Semitism is masked by saying that you're an anti-Zionist or anti-Israel. So this is where we come in as an organization to expose students to the possible anti-Semitism they may encounter when they go away to college, and then to prepare them for it, to teach, to expose them to it, but also to show them that there are steps that they could take to be able to respond to this appropriately and effectively. And so we teach students those steps how to take, and we also teach them how to respond to, you know, blatantly false anti-Semitic accusations that are being made toward Israel. So we try to educate students. And we work with both Jewish and non-Jewish students. There are even more non-Jewish pro-Israel students than there are Jewish just because of sheer population numbers. You know, there are a lot more non-Jews in America than there are Jews. So there are a lot more pro-Israel supporters that are non-Jewish. And we work with these students as well as the Jewish students to expose them to this anti-Semitism that exists and to help them be able to respond to it.
So what you're really saying is that these days, anybody that is going to be going to college is going to be exposed to some kind of abuse because they're Jewish.
Yeah, I wouldn't know if I would go that far. You touched on BDS and SJP earlier on, and this would probably be a good time to talk about that, because BDS stands for the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, and this is a movement that has been growing internationally around the world, and they have a campus arm called SJP, which is the Students for Justice in Palestine. And this movement is extremely deceptive on college universities because they disguise their movement as being a social justice movement, as a human rights movement, as freedom from oppression, as equality for all. And for any college student or any person, even to me and you, this would sound amazing. This would sound like a great cause that we could get behind and support. And unfortunately, what they end up doing is they end up attracting students from all walks of life, including some Jewish students and a lot of non-Jewish students, and under the guise of social justice. And once they attract these students, they begin to push their anti-Semitism on college universities. And they do this in a number of different ways. They have something called an Israel Apartheid Week on college universities, and this is mainly on major universities. So SJP and BDS don't exist on every college campus, which answers your original question. Not every single college campus has this type of movement taking place on it, but a lot of the bigger schools do. The smaller ones don't yet. So the bigger schools are dealing with this campus group called SJP that's pushing anti-Semitism on campus, and they do this in a number of different ways. And one way is they set up an Israel Apartheid Week. And this is a claim that many high school students have never heard before. Speaking of misinformation, one of the things that SJP claims on college universities is that Israel is a racist, segregated, apartheid state. And of course, nothing could be further from the truth of that, because we all know that Israeli Muslim Arab citizens and Israeli Christian Arab citizens are entitled to all equality that Israeli citizens have. They're allowed to serve in the government. They're allowed to vote. They're allowed to voluntarily serve in the IDF. They're allowed to serve in the Israeli police force. They're allowed to attend university. They're allowed to teach at university. These are all things that were denied to blacks during South African apartheid. So how can anybody possibly say that Israel is an apartheid state? However, this group, SJP, makes that claim, and they set up an entire fake apartheid wall on college universities, and they usually do this in the main part of campus, and they're passing out pamphlets talking about how Israel is a racist state. So any student, regardless if they're Jewish or not, if they're pro-Israel, they would feel incredibly intimidated by students that are surrounding them with this kind of rhetoric and language. And then there are other ways that they do it too. For example, at NYU just a year ago, and they got in trouble at NYU, which is what they did was they passed out fake eviction notices in the dorm rooms, and they slipped it underneath the dorm rooms to students who had Jewish-sounding last names. And they also did it with people that sounded like they had Jewish last names, but they weren't actually Jewish. Nevertheless, they got a fake eviction notice passed underneath their dorm room saying that they had to evacuate the building in less than 3 days. These students were incredibly intimidated. They were like, what is going on? There are students coming from all over the country. NYU attracts people from all over the United States and abroad. And here they are attending university, and they're saying that their dorm room is about to be demolished. I mean, they began panicking. As they were exiting the building, SJP was outside to greet them, and it became very clear that they were the ones responsible for passing out these fake eviction notices, which was against the law. So this is something that Stand With Us exists for. When students encounter these types of situations, they can always turn to Stand With Us, and we will be there as an educational resource for them. We will be there to help them bring speakers to campuses that will expose people to the truth and all of the facts that they need to be exposed to. We will help them bring programs to campus. We'll help them set up events on campus. We'll ship them educational materials. Whatever they need to be able to respond to this kind of activity, Stand With Us exists as a resource for them to turn to at any point in time.
So Stand With Us basically was created to help people deal with this kind of abuse. And so what you're saying is that the double talk is what got to me, because you were saying they're asking for the destruction of a people, the abuse against Jewish students, but they're saying it's for justice. So justice and abuse, the double talk of saying I'm standing for a just cause and using a rightful or lies, it kind of like confuses people a lot. Because
right.
In one hand, the word is kind of bringing an image of something good, but then they walk in and they're asked to do something horrible, but then they do it because the word says justice. So in the name of justice now, it's okay to do all those things, even though it may not be true. And
right.
You also
right.
said, yeah.
Right. No, that's exactly right. I mean, there's, you know, they make these claims like that, you know, that we're violating their freedom of speech. However, when a student chooses to bring a speaker into the campus that will expose people to the truth, and if SJP doesn't agree with what this speaker has to say, they will stage events and mock protests out in front of the building where the speaker is to speak, and they will disrupt the speaker from speaking. So it's kind of ironic that they accuse people of violating their free speech when in actuality they're the ones violating the free speech of these speakers who are invited to these campuses, who have approval to be there at the university that day to speak, and they're disrupting them from speaking. So these are the types of interactions that pro-Israel students are now experiencing on college universities in North America today, and this is one of the reasons why Stand With Us exists.
Right, and by the way, double talk is a very strong psychological agenda here of using double talk, because it's a very powerful way to do it. But you said something about the fact that BDS is right now in bigger colleges and they're not in smaller colleges yet. Are you saying that it's just a matter of time before they will reach all the college campuses and university campuses in the United States if something doesn't happen to stop that movement?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, that looks like the direction that it's going in. You know, BDS is funded by countries that have a lot of money that support what the movement is doing. So they almost have an endless supply of funds that they could reach to. And they and what they're doing is the only real, you know, opportunity for them to really grow in America is on college universities, because they're the adults are sort of like community members are well aware, they're very well educated, and they know that the types of language, this double talk that you're speaking of, wouldn't work on a community member, and students that are very young don't really care about these issues yet going on in the Middle East, or many of them don't. You know, I'm talking about like middle schoolers and grade schoolers. They're not thinking about political issues overseas. So where there's a real avenue for them to grow, unfortunately, seems to be on college universities. That's really the only area in America where they're having a lot of success in. So this has sort of become the hotbed for anti-Semitism now in the United States, is on college universities. And so now we work to prepare high school students for what they may encounter when they go to college, and Stand With Us as a whole campus division that will work with these students once they're in college to be able to help them with any needs that they may require. And of course, you know, we're here as a resource for these students to turn to at any point in time, and we try to make that very clear to everyone that we work with, that we're always here as a resource for the students. That's the primary reason why Stand With Us exists.
And why Stand With Us is so important. It's really, really important. You also touched on Israeli-Arab rights, of what kind of rights the Arabs have in Israel. And I haven't been in Israel for years, but I went there last year, and I found that a lot of Israelis feel that the Arabs that live in Israel have more rights than the Israelis, just based on the fact that the Israelis cannot go into the Arab villages, and the Arabs can go into any village and any place that they want to. They don't have any limitations on where they can go. And I went on a boat out, and I found that it was me and everybody else was Palestinian. There were no other Jews there. And we spent the whole night dancing and having a great time. There is no such a thing as repressing anybody in Israel at all. So that's definitely misinformation. But unfortunately, there are times when, because of the fact that they do get attacked a lot by Palestinians that do live there, Israeli citizens get attacked, sometimes they do have to implement a curfew. Sometimes they do have to put some kind of guidelines in that community. So, and they may see that as discrimination, but what else can you do when somebody in that family may come out and kill you? So it's just really, yeah, like you said, it's a bunch of really a lot of misinformation.
Right, right, and exactly right.
Yeah, but anybody that goes to Israel can see right away that that's not true. And also you said something about the funding. And from what I understand, the funding for the BDS also comes from our own federal government. Do you know about that? Because besides the fact that they get a lot of funding from a lot of Middle East countries out there, our federal government is funding a lot of their programs.
Yeah, I can't comment on that.
Oh, you don't know? Okay.
Yeah, but I know that they are receiving a lot of their funding from overseas as well, and this is like some of their primary backers, and then they're able to come over to countries, and they don't just exist in North America. They don't just exist in the BDS isn't just like a United States Canada issue. It's a global movement, unfortunately. So they're impacting a lot of universities already in Europe. And you know, a lot of them have been very susceptible to the BDS movement. So now we're just trying to get ahead of the movement a little bit by educating people properly about what BDS really stands for, which is the destruction of Israel. I mean, that's what they really care about. If BDS really cared about the Palestinians, right? If they really cared about the Palestinian people and living in the West Bank and living in Gaza, then how come they're shutting down businesses in the West Bank that employ Palestinians? I mean, by shutting down those businesses, they're putting hundreds of Palestinian workers out of work. They were successful in shutting down SodaStream in the West Bank and have put hundreds of Palestinian workers out of work. So this is something that is a very dangerous movement, and actually Stand With Us works with Palestinian Muslim speakers. And we have guest speaker tours around the country where we have a number of speakers who tour around the country who are experts in certain fields, and we work with Palestinian Muslims and they tour around college universities and high schools to discuss why the BDS movement is dangerous to the Palestinian people, which is a very, very unique perspective. Here are the Palestinian Muslims, and they're saying, don't support this movement. This movement is dangerous. It's hurting us. And then there is BDS saying that they're for Palestinian civil rights. I mean, there's so much double talk. There's so much misinformation. It's so deceptive that some students join it and they don't even realize the movement that they're signing up for. So what we do is we try to educate them about the movement properly and then teach them how to respond to some of the rhetoric that is coming out of this movement.
So I don't think Stand With Us is enough. I think we need a lot of other organizations. How does Stand With Us grow and have this next office? Like you said, you're not just local. You're also international. When somebody wants to expand and implement another chapter or something like that, how does that work, or are you not involved with that?
Right. So that's a wonderful question. So I'm more involved on the educational aspect of things within the organization. So I'm primarily like working with educators and working with school administrators and students. Those are the main people that I work with as a high school coordinator. So what I primarily do is I will work with an administrator or an educator to see what topics about Israel would appeal to their specific class and their students. And then we have a number of different topics. We have over 10 different programs that we could run on the high school level about Israel on a variety of different subjects. And then I work with educators and students to make sure that we select the right topic for their particular classroom or their school. So as far as, like, you are right, though. We are an international organization. We have chapters throughout the U.S., and we also have an office in Israel, in Jerusalem. We have an office in the U.K., in London, and we have an office in Canada as well. and we have offices in New York, New England, the Pacific Northwest, Chicago, Detroit, Florida, Philadelphia, San Francisco, San Diego, Davis, and Santa Cruz. So we're really spread out throughout the entire country. There's not one state in the United States that we don't reach, that we can't get to with our programs. So we are not just a national organization, but we're also international. We go all over Canada, all over England, and all over Israel with our programs as well. And we're in the process of opening up two more offices abroad, one in Australia and one in China as well, although we're still working on that. So this is a growing organization. I'm very happy to say that Stand With Us is really growing and we're developing. And even just the growth that we've had in the last few years, I remember when I first took the job and I was starting to make calls with administrators, I had to explain to them what Stand With Us was. Now I'm getting calls left and right. I have so many requests pouring in, asking Stand With Us to come to their school, and I'm so grateful that it's both private schools and public high schools, that everybody is very interested in education, about exposing their own students to the facts about Israel and the Middle East, and it's a complex subject. So it's great that they could turn to us, and we will work with them to make sure that we're running a program that will fit for their particular school and their students.
That is wonderful that people are becoming more aware that you're there, so that they know where to turn, because not knowing where to turn is like one of the biggest problems when you're facing an issue, and at least they know you'll be there for them.
Right.
You have on the website a mission statement, and I think it's really important. The first sentence is, it is an international organization, it is a nonprofit organization. That's fine. But it says, we believe that education is the road to peace. And that's basically what I wanted to really focus on. Your goal ultimately in educating people in everything that you do, it's to accomplish that, to get rid of the war, to get rid of the fighting, and to be able to live peacefully within the region, within Israel, with their neighbors. But are you talking about just specifically for Israel, or are you talking about peace everywhere?
No, I we believe that the more educated a society is, the more tolerant and acceptive and peaceful that society will become. So it really, in the case of Israel, where there is a lot of conflict, as we all know, if everybody were educated properly and they grew up tolerating each other and understanding each other's histories and understanding each other's cultures, and coming from a perspective where you're learning together, you know, where you're being educated together, I think this is a very powerful thing. And education has an ability to make people much more open-minded and tolerant. One thing that we've done here in the United States is we've done a pretty good job. I think we still have a little bit further to go, but we do a good job of educating people about African-American history here in the United States, and teaching them about slavery and teaching them about the Civil Rights Movement and Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X, and learning about the struggles that this particular minority group went through here in America. And so we educate the American public so that we can understand better what these people went through and we can relate to them. And through education, it's allowed a younger generation of Americans to grow up much more tolerant and acceptive to all minority groups. And so Stand With Us believes in this formula. We also believe that this can be the case for Israel too, how Israel has gone through so much in their history, and they're still going through a lot today, even as we speak. But we believe that as long as people can be educated properly, not just about Israel, but about the entire Middle East, that will create a much more tolerant and acceptive society that we believe will lead to peace down the road. And we believe the more educated peace will be, the more tolerant is, the more educated a society is, the more peaceful they will become.
Yeah, absolutely. The most important thing is education, because as you can see, education in either way, if you educate children to hate, then the children will grow up hating. If you educate children to love, then they'll grow up loving. But if you have a generation that is raised, educated to hate and kill, the re-education is already twice as much work. And a lot of the times when you go out there to high school and middle school students, you're already dealing with the re-education. You're already dealing with kind of fixing misinformation that they have gotten before. Do you find that that's what happens a lot, that people question you? But I thought this and this.
Of course, of course. I mean, a lot of that, too, is from mainstream media. You know, a lot of student, you know, a lot of students, a lot of Americans in general, not just students, but all Americans, regardless of age, they get their information from mainstream media. And unfortunately, you know, we all know that, you know, mainstream media operates like a business, and they're going to run stories that generate the highest profit for them. And when it comes to Israel, the best story that they could possibly run that will generate the highest profit is a story about conflict and about war and about instability and rockets and terrorism. And so this is something that many students in America grow up with, and they think there's this constant fighting going on in Israel, and that's this, it's this incredibly unsafe place and unstable. And the truth is that when you go to Israel, anybody will see with their own two eyes. They could just walk around Jerusalem for a day, and they will see Muslims, Jews, and Christians interacting on an everyday basis in a peaceful way. They're conducting business together. They're doing trading together. Their neighborhoods border, like, live amongst each other. I mean, it's incredible the amount of peace and tolerance that exists in Israel on an everyday basis. That's why I have hope. I have hope for the future, because when you go to Israel, you can see all of the beauty and all of the diversity and all of the harmony that exists in that country, and it's amazing. So it's sort of like we have to, yes, there is a conflict that exists. Yes, you do need to educate people about that conflict, but you also need to educate them about the wonderful diversity that exists, the wonderful relations that that Christians, Jews, and Muslims experience in Israel every day, the important roles that all minority groups play in Israeli society. I mean, Israel is a Western democracy. It's the melting pot of the Middle East. It absorbs immigrants from all over the world every single year, both Jewish and non-Jewish. So it's an incredibly diverse country, and it operates very similarly to the way the United States does, which is one of the reasons why both countries are such close friends with one another. So it's an incredible country, and we try to educate people about all aspects of Israel. Not just the good, not just the bad, but everything. You know, we want students to be exposed to everything, so that when it comes to making a decision, they can make an informed and educated decision. And if they should encounter false anti-Semitic rhetoric about Israel, they would be able to respond to it. And also, if they encounter like Islamophobic rhetoric, you know, like the kind of rhetoric that's saying like all Muslims are terrorists and this and that, this is also why Stand With Us exists. We want to educate people about the entire Middle East. So we want students to not be we don't want them to be Islamophobic. We want them to be educated. Of course, only a very small minority of Muslims engage in actual terrorism. So it's not, we need to expose them to these facts and to allow them to have a full perspective and context about what's taking place in the Middle East and in Israel today.
Yeah, there is misinformation on all levels. The problem that I have a lot is with the word conflict, because in my mind, what conflict means is that it's a conflicting or a disagreement between two people. And when people say conflict, there's conflict in the Middle East, I can't find that it's conflict in the Middle East, because I don't see two people conflicting each other. I see one people who are saying that the other person has no right to exist. So if somebody comes and knocks on my door and tells me, you have no right to be here and you don't exist, and I kick him out of my house, I don't see that as a conflict. I see it as an attack. And so I always have a hard time when people say there's conflict in the Middle East. There is no conflict. There's one country, Israel, trying to survive, and the another people right next to it saying, you have no right to be here. So do you see the problem that I have always with the conflict in the Middle East issue?
Yes, yes. And unfortunately, what I've come to find is that a lot of times when people define Israel, they define it through the conflict. That's the only lens that they're able to see Israel through, is through the conflict. So this is why it actually shows me why it's so important for an organization like Stand With Us to exist because, yes, we educate people about the conflict, but there's so much happening in Israel. Israel, as you know to be, I mean, Israel is one of the most high-tech countries in the world right now. They're one of the leading countries in cancer research right now, in HIV and AIDS research. I mean, it's phenomenal, the type of technology that's coming out. All of the major American technological companies have research and development centers in Israel today. Intel, IBM, Apple, Google, Microsoft, all of them invest in Israel today. Facebook, I mean, they all have huge research and development centers because Israel is one of the leaders in the world in this type of technology. So there is so much happening in Israel right now. And yes, there is a conflict, but there's so much good taking place. And we want to be able to expose students to everything that's going on in Israel, not just certain aspects of it. And we work with educators to make sure that we're picking programs that fit the needs of their particular students.
So an educator would give you a call and tell you, I have this and this need, and then you can tell them which program would be appropriate for them, or do you actually develop a program of something that might be helpful for them?
We do both. We do both.
You do both?
Yeah, like it doesn't happen often, but sometimes a educator will request a topic that we don't yet have a program created for. So in that case, we would create a program for that particular educator so that we can run that program for their particular students. Or what we'll do is we'll take an existing program and we'll modify that program to fit the needs of that particular school and those students who we're working with for that particular collaboration. So we're extremely flexible at Stand With Us, and we're adaptable, and we will make sure that any program that we agree to run is going to be the ideal program for your particular school and your particular students. And we're, like I said, we're very flexible. We can present at any time. We can present during the school day. We could present in one class throughout the school day. We can have an assembly. I can present to an after-school club. I present in churches and synagogues. I present in YMCAs and JCCs, in summer camps, to youth groups. So it's really, we are so flexible and adaptable, and we work 7 days a week. We can work Saturdays, Sundays, Monday through Friday. We're trying to make it as easy as possible to form a collaboration with our partners. And that is something that we take a ton of pride in Stand With Us. We reach out to other organizations and other schools to form collaborations all the time. And we have beautiful national partnerships with youth groups and halals across the country. I mean, we work with all these organizations so that we can collaborate and make sure that we're bringing programs to these schools. And a lot of times, for a collaboration to take place with Stand With Us, since we're a nonprofit, any program that we run is going to be free of charge, all right? So the only thing that we would charge money for is if we had, like, a national guest speaker tour where we're taking a speaker and we're touring him around the entire country. And that is something that we would, like, charge, like, a small honorarium fee, and we can work with the schools on that. But that is obviously, like, something that, you know, is specialized and only takes place during certain times of the year. Ordinarily, to have a collaboration with Stand With Us is completely free. And what a collaboration would look like essentially is our programs are mostly multimedia programs. So they're like PowerPoint presentations. It's important for high school kids, right? Teenagers have very short attention spans, as we know. And so it's important that these programs have visuals for them to look at. And they're very engaging, they're interactive, they're designed to be fun. They're not long, they're designed to take up about one class period. And we run these programs all the time for these students. And a lot of times they have video clips, and this is something that students enjoy. And a lot of times we plan these programs through the students themselves. So this is something that the students are enjoying, that they're learning from, and that they're requesting on their own, which shows us at Stand With Us that the programs are really working and appealing to them.
So it's accessible, and it's easy to understand. I don't know if you can point out, but if I were to ask you, what would be one of the most important information, most important part of the education, some kind of a topic that you would want everybody to know about part of your education, what would you say would be the number one thing?
I'm sorry. What would be the number one thing about?
About information that you think the people should know. People that are listening, that, let's say, don't know anything about Israel or the Palestinians, or if there's a conflict, or if there isn't a conflict, or if this right. People are hearing all kinds of things everywhere. They're not
right.
in school anymore, and we're not talking about high school kids. We're talking about college and above people. What would be the number one thing that you would like them to know about Israel and about the situation that is really, really important for them to understand?
So I think in order to understand how Israel became the way it is today, we have to understand the history. So we have an excellent program at Stand With Us called Israel 101, which is one of our, you know, bread and butter programs. We run it all of the time. And this teaches the history and the evolution of Israel over the last 3,000 years. And imagine covering 3,000 years in 45 minutes, but we have an amazing program that accomplishes that. And so I think if there's one thing that people can walk away with, is it's understanding the history, all right? Whatever issues that people have with Israel today, and there are legit criticisms, don't get me wrong. There are Israelis themselves, you know, have plenty of criticisms about their government, the same way Americans have criticisms for the American government. I mean, it's no different over there than it is over here. So there are plenty of legit criticisms. But the thing is that you need to understand why Israel operates and functions the way it does today. And the only way you can understand that is by knowing the history. There wasn't always a separation wall between Gaza and the West Bank and Israel. For over 50 years, no wall existed. How come there is a wall now and there wasn't back then? Well, you need to understand and study the first and second intifadas and how Israel experienced some of the worst waves of terrorism that any country has ever experienced in their entire history. And so Israel was forced to take security measures to be able to protect all of their citizens, not just their Jewish citizens, but their Christian and Muslim citizens as well. So this is something that people can only understand through knowing the history of Israel. So if there's one thing people should walk away with, is you need to understand the history, to do the research, to understand you know, what was going on in Israel in the late 1800s, early 1900s, the 1920s, the 30s, the 40s, when the United Nations divided up the land evenly between the Arabs and the Jews living there, and everything that came afterward. I mean, really, you know, Israel is a fascinating country with a ton of history to study that is very interesting and important for people to know, because you won't understand Israel today without understanding their history. So that would be the one thing that I think is most important for people to walk away with.
It is fascinating how they got to where they are now. It is, I think it's one of the most fascinating. History in itself is a very interesting study in any country or anything. And yes, in Israel, the Israelis are the biggest critics of the Israeli government. I don't think any country has as many critics as Israeli. Every Israeli is a critic. Yeah, everybody has something to say. So that's definitely freedom of expression, and you can talk to a bus driver, you can talk to a janitor, they all have an opinion, they all have a critical view of the government, of things that could be better, and yeah, it could be better, it always could be better, that definitely is a non-issue. But there is no complete discussion about the subject without touching on what's currently going on in Israel, and currently I'm getting news every single day there's an attack with a knife. Every single day somebody's getting killed, somebody's getting wounded. Right now it's I guess it would be like an intifada number two, only much, much bigger. A lot of these people that are attacking with knives are 12 years old, 14 years old, 18 years old, but very, very young. I think there was even one girl that was 8 years old that ran out with a knife and tried to stab some soldier or something. About the current situation of what's going on now, we're not hearing one word of that in the media. At least I'm not. And I'm not a big media watch, news watcher. But are you hearing any news of any attacks? Because it is every single day, sometimes even a couple of times a day, that there are attacks. Are you hearing anything about it anywhere? Or am I just
I mean, yeah, mainstream media does cover it. But the mainstream media will kind of, like, present it in a way that is, like, going to attract viewers to their stations. So, like, they'll almost, you know, if you're scrolling through like one of the mainstream media stations, like you'll see like something like you know almost like a football score where they'll list like the number of dead on each side. And they're not presenting like any of context over like how this is happening or why
really
this is
happened.
Taking place. Right. And mm-hmm. that's like the unfortunate truth. And you'll see some headlines like in mainstream media and newspapers here in New York City where they'll say like two Palestinians killed, one Israeli dead, and that will be the headline. And the actual context of that particular situation would have been that two Palestinians attacked a woman who was on the street, who was walking on the street, and she was stabbed to death by these two people. But you would never understand that from just looking at the headlines. So
it's
media, but you're getting a lot of misinformation about what's taking place. So you are hearing it. It is like mainstream media is reporting it, but they're giving a lot of misinformation out there to the public.
Right, and that's why one of the reasons that it's so important to get information out, to get the right information on. That's why, again, I have to say that what you're doing is one of the most important things right now going on in the world.
Right.
So I'm going
right.
to ask you your personal opinion about what's going on in Israel with all this stabbing. What do you think? Is there an end to this madness, or what do we
do? Yes, there's always hope. There's always hope for the future. The majority of Palestinians do not engage in like this like violent wave of terrorism. It's really a small minority of the population. But look, in order for, you know, an end to incitement and an end in violence to take place in Israel, you need to be able to change the education systems that are taking place in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip right now, and really throughout a lot of the Middle Eastern world. You know, they're educating their people from the age of 5 all the way through college. And believe me, these are like autocratic dictatorships. We're not talking about democracies here. We're talking about dictators. So they have complete control of their educational system throughout an entire person's life. And so they're controlling what's being taught. And unfortunately, what's being taught to them is that, you know, Israelis and the Jews are the most evil people in the world. They came and stole the land here illegally from the Palestinians living here. And the only way to defeat the Jews and get our land back is by killing them and forcing them out of the land. And this is the message that's taught to them from the age of 5 all the way through college. So if I'm a Palestinian and I'm growing up in the West Bank, or if I'm growing up in Gaza and I'm being taught this in school and I'm hearing this being taught to me in the mosque, and I'm hearing this on I'm hearing this on, you know, Palestinian media, on the television and on the radio, I mean, I'm going to grow up hating Jews. I mean, I almost don't blame Palestinians for this. So in order for change to take place in Israel, you have to change the educational systems that are operating currently in the West Bank and Gaza. And if, like you said earlier, if they're educating their people to be tolerant and to be respectful and to be loving and to be friends, then you're going to create a much more tolerant society. And right now, that is not taking place in the West Bank and in Gaza. Now, there are Muslim schools in Israel where that type of education takes place. And as a result, Muslim Israeli citizens often grow up being very tolerant and open-minded and identify as Israeli citizens. I mean, it's remarkable. A lot of Muslim citizens volunteer to serve in the IDF. Most of the trackers that are currently in the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, are Bedouin Muslim trackers. That's what the IDF uses. That's what the Bedouins go into. And there are over 1,000 Bedouin Muslim soldiers right now serving in the IDF right now. So it's amazing how tolerant education can really make a society become. And what you're seeing is that Israeli Muslim Arab citizens and Israeli Christian Arab citizens are being educated completely differently than they're being educated in the West Bank and Gaza. So if in order for the violence to stop, the education system has to change in those territories.
Yeah, I think education is the key to everything. You don't even need a revolution. You don't need anything. You just need an education system that is not inciting violence and hate. And no, I don't blame them. I have a Jewish friend that grew up in Egypt, and there is no Jewish schools there. And when she went to school, in a three-year-old, a four-year-old, a five-year-old, the first thing they had to do in the morning is the teacher would say, who's the enemy? And the kids would yell, Israel, the Jews. And then the teacher would say, who do you want to kill? And they would have to yell that. And even the Jewish kids would have to do that in class every day. You take a three-year-old, of course they're going to grow up thinking, what else? That's reality. That's the only truth they can be. So you're right, education has to start from the first time they attend class, kindergarten or pre-kindergarten. I think that's really the answer, is education. There's no question about that. So
right.
You're doing something about it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, that's precisely why Stand With Us exists, is we are an educational organization. So we stick to education, which allows us to market ourselves to everyone. We can market ourselves to both Jews and non-Jews, to high schools, to private high schools. I mean, everybody wants to be educated. And so since we're an Israel and Middle Eastern educational organization, this allows us to work with everybody, which has really allowed Stand With Us to grow and reach communities that, you know, we may have not been able to reach years ago. But today we're able to reach everybody because of our message of education and how education leads to peace and tolerance. And also, we have a very large social media department, and a lot of people like Stand With Us on Facebook. They like Stand With Us on Twitter, on Snapchat, on Instagram, whatever the teens are using these days. But a lot of them get their news information from these social media sites. These social media sites have become, in a way, how the younger generation gets their news. So Stand With Us is extremely active on social media. We have over 800,000 people worldwide that like us on Facebook, and it's one of the best ways that you can get up-to-date information about Israel and the Middle East is simply by liking Stand With Us on social media, and we're able to reach over 40 million people worldwide every week on average. See our social media pages and our social media sites. So it's remarkable how that reach can reach everyone. And because we're educational, that allows us to work with all different types of partners.
Yeah, that's a really good advantage. And so, my God, we're running out of time. But that's where I think the name Stand With Us is such an amazing name, because basically what you're going out there is not for any one specific group. You're asking everyone to stand with us with that purpose in mind, so that we don't have to live fighting and killing each other, that we all want to live in harmony. And so if you stand together under that purpose and under that goal, then we have a chance. And this planet has a chance. Because I have to tell you, a lot of people have given up on this planet saying, that's it. It's destruction. There's no other way. But
I'm an eternal optimist. I believe there's always hope. There's hope for the planet, and there's hope for Israel and Palestine. There's always hope that there can be peace and that, you know, a better day can come tomorrow.
Yeah, and also that a better day is here today. I mean, organizations like Stand With Us, organizations like people like you that are willing to give their time and energy to invest in that kind of work, and you don't stand alone. There are a lot of people standing with you. There's a lot of. So is there any upcoming event that we can invite people to come to really participate if they like?
Yeah, on February 21st, there's going to be an event at the Marlboro Jewish Center. This is open for all teens. This is a teen event, ages 9th through 12th grade. This is in Marlboro, New Jersey. And this is an open event for students to come. And we're going to actually be running that Israel 101 program that I just mentioned to you before, teaching people about 3,000 years of history in Israel. So if people wanted to come and they wanted to get a great understanding of the history of Israel and how Israel became the country that it is today, then I would definitely encourage them to attend this program, which is open to everyone. It's free, and we would be happy to have you.
You're talking about February 22nd?
21st.
February 21st in New Jersey, right?
Right. Marlboro,
because I'm
New
looking
Jersey.
At the website, it says in the website it says 2:22 at 7 p.m. at Aventura Turnberry Jewish Center. Could that be a different event that I'm looking at? Because it looks like
Los
Angeles.
That would be a different event. Yeah. So So I gave you a local one in New Jersey, and what you're probably looking at is the Stand With
I'm
Us.
I'm sending people to L.A.
Right. <Yeah. laughs> you're sending people to L.A., but that's exactly what we are. I mean, we're actually headquartered in L.A., but we're spread out throughout the country, and we have a lot of events coming up, and I would be happy to be able to share that with your audience as more events come through and get confirmed in the future.
Okay. Also, you can go on the website to www.standwithus.com, and then you have more information about this organization. If you want to get involved, you'll find out over here how to get involved. There's actually a thing that says you get involved. I didn't know that. And so it has different ways that you can get involved. If you really want to make a difference in the world and the difference in the community, a difference in a child's life that is going into college unprepared, not knowing, this is your opportunity. This is your opportunity to give back. So all you have to do is go to standwithus.com. And Paul, thank you so much for your work. I really appreciate all that information that you gave us. There is so much. The email 101 information, we might be able to give bits and pieces of it on the show, but we won't be able to give the entire course. So if you're curious about it, of what really happened and why the situation got so divided, who instigated it, why they instigated it, there's so many things that went on that are amazingly fascinating, more fascinating than any movie you can see. It's definitely. And I'm sure it's not done in a boring way, because high school students are not going to watch more than 3 minutes of it if it's boring. So I know you guys have to do it in a way that gives you more information, that really stimulates you to think, okay, that makes sense, that doesn't make sense. So things that you can actually know about what happened. And so if somebody wants to get a copy of that Israel 101 thing, what do they have to do?
You can send them to me. My email address is paulf@standwithus.com. Please feel free to reach out to me, and I would be happy to mail or ship you any educational materials or items that you require that you would like to use to teach in your classrooms.
Okay, Paul F., that's F like flower, not S like Sam, because I know my last name starts with an F, and I just got a bunch of letters with an S, like Sam, and it actually is very annoying, and you're not going to get the email going where you want it to go. So it's Paul, F like Frank,
@standwithus.com. Yeah, F like Frank. Right,
yeah.
Exactly. Yep.
Wonderful, Paul. I really like to thank you for taking the time out to actually teach us about it and to let us know what you guys are and that you are actually there. I mean, the more people know about you, the more people know that you're there, the more people can take advantage of it. And also, you said something about high schools and colleges and education and all that stuff, but there's also a lot of communities that might want to hear more information about Israel and don't really know that much about it. Can we contact you through the website and ask to come speak to, let's say, Toastmasters or Chamber of Commerce events or other events, other community events that might need speakers, that might need some more educational or ideology of what's going on?
Of course, of course. Please feel free to reach out to me. We work with community members all of the time. It's one of the major audiences that we work with. So we work with community members, high school, college students, and now we're opening up a brand new middle school program as well. So please feel free to always reach out to me. I'm great with email. My office number is 212-514-9200, extension 4. I'm always available. Please feel free to reach out to me, and I would be delighted to work with you.
Well, thank you so much, Paul. Really appreciate it. Thank you again for the third time.
Thank you, Tippi.
And
thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
And thank you, everybody, for listening. We really do appreciate it. I feel very strongly about the fact that no matter where you stand and no matter what you think, no matter what you have learned, no matter what you have seen, getting information will only help you make a much more educated decision and much more ability to know where you really want to stand and what you really want to deal with, rather than randomly just listening to one side of the story or the other. Getting both sides is important. So I invite everybody to come and to hear more information about what is going on in Israel and what the history, I think, even Israel is the most important, and how the Palestinians are being treated in Israel, because they are being They have an amazing life over there. As a matter of fact, they have a much better life than they do in many, many other countries that are nearby. So thank you for listening, everybody. Have a magical evening, and let your talent be your potion. And once again, Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.